You are listening to the VTN Network.
Hey folks, this is Chip Tatum. Just a quick note to let you know the other show carried on so far. It was an overextended show to introduce our new guest or our new host coming on next week, next Tuesday. I hope you enjoyed the show with him tonight. It carried over into my show, and what I'll do tonight is I'll be joining Stu Webb on Stu Webb Raw for the first hour or so to replace my show. Have a pretty good little show planned tonight for y'all. I hope you stay on and listen, and I'll see you in a few minutes with Stu Webb Raw. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Of a Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webb, and this is the VeteransTruthNetwork.com, VeteransTruthRadio.com. And it is Tuesday, May the 12th, 2015. And I have three special guests on tonight. I have former Congresswoman Dr. Cynthia McKinney. And I have Gene Chip Tatum, Super Spook, NSA whistleblower, my partner in this network. He'll be on with us. And also in the second hour, I have Dr. William Croft, a pathologist, talking about this outbreak of the bird flu that they're having to kill all the chickens and turkeys and everything up through the Midwest. He's going to be on with me. But welcome, Dr. Cynthia McKinney, and welcome, Chip.
Well, thank you.
I can call you doctor now, right? Call you doc from now on?
Yeah, you can call me doctor, but I got to collect that piece of paper, and I'm having all kinds of problems because of President Obama prosecuting journalists who used the WikiLeaks documents. And, of course, that puts a chill over my academic institution because I use WikiLeaks documents, too, in my dissertation about 300 pages on the leadership of Hugo Chavez. And of course, you know, the United States is still bothering Venezuela now that Hugo Chavez has died, and they've targeted Maduro, the new president of the Bolivarian revolutionary government in Venezuela, for destabilization as well. And one of the things that I learned in doing my paper was that Chavez was leading the anti-US domination of Latin American countries and African countries. And so he was working hand in hand with Africans to stop the recolonization of Africa, as well as to liberate Latin America from the clutches of neoliberalism, which is the new form of imperialism.
Plus, Cynthia, they're floating on oil.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I guess that explains why, under the Bush administration, the Fourth Fleet was reactivated, so that the United States can go back to what it knows so well, and that's gunboat diplomacy. Gun anything, drone anything, bomb anything, but what about the diplomacy? What about making friends? What about being peaceful? What about fair trade? What about dignity and respect? Well, I guess that has no place in the new U.S. identity. So I ask people in the United States, what does it mean to be an American? What do you stand for? What do you stand for? What does the United States stand for? And what kind of America do you want to interact with the rest of the world?
You know, Cynthia, when I was active in intelligence, one of our primary objectives was to influence government officials, foreign and domestic, into seeing things our way and explaining to them, even in our type of gunboat diplomacy, that we're diplomatic. What do you mean we're not being diplomatic with you? We'll be your best friend once you do what we tell you to do. and until you cross us again like Noriega did.
Like Noriega, like Saddam Hussein. I think the list goes on and on and on.
Chorejos, all goes way down, yeah.
That's right, that's right. And so, you know, the question comes to the people of the U.S. And, you know, at some point we have to break ourselves from this political elite that basically operates as a little criminal syndicate that goes around the world plundering, stealing, raping, pillaging, and under the guise of, you know, well, we want to create democracy, or we want to make the world free or safe for democracy and freedom and liberty and dignity. But at some point, all one has to do is read the documents that were declassified in the Frank Church Committee to understand that they're exactly what you're saying. And read what John Perkins wrote in The Economic Hitman. And, you know, I look at him on the YouTube videos, so I see what he says. And to know that there's a different way of operating in the world. And I believe that we could have the most loyal friendships if we practiced some loyalty to something other than greed and rapaciousness.
Total agreement with you there. We got to get rid of the Illuminati. The only way I see two ways of getting rid of them. One is the American people doing it, or two is that maybe God could do it. But I think he's waiting for us to do it.
I think we need to do it. And you know, because, well, I still believe that good things happen to good people. And if we are a country of good people, I mean, you know, look at other countries that, look at what Iceland did. And, you know, I know it's a small, very homogeneous country, but they were able to exact justice for the criminal banking syndicate that it was trying to overthrow their government and their way of life and their culture and their values. And it's important for us to understand exactly, to ask ourselves, what are our values? And this killing, this mass killing that the United States is responsible for all over the world, is that the kind of, is that the mom and pop values that you know, you can find in middle America? I don't think so. I've been through middle America. Well, Stu, you know that. And, you know, what I see are hardworking people who really would like to be left alone to reach their fullest potential and allow opportunity for their children. And I see that across religion, across race, across ethnicity, across language. It, you know, that's like a human want. That's not something left to some specific and particular group. And if we acknowledge that in others, I believe others will acknowledge that in us and allow us all to live peacefully and in harmony. That's not just, you know, pie in the sky stuff, but it might be pie in the sky, but it's also, I believe, the way it's good to live one's life.
I'm in agreement with you, Cynthia. And, you know, I got word and I made an announcement. Folks, I want to retract what I said. Because a couple of weeks ago, there was all this chatter. Chatter means in the intelligence world what the NSA and the military and all of our intelligence agencies are picking up on, that Israel was plotting to hit Iran before the end of next month. Well, it happens to be that they're finding out the U.S. is not going to back them. And the Congress and Senate is finding out that that agreement with Iran, which is totally peaceful, that they're not going to be able to get this thing and do anything in the Congress or the Senate to screw it up. And it will go through. Now, and there will be checks and balances with Iran and everything else. And all they want is peace. You know, they've tried to break themselves of the New World Order. And I congratulate them for that when they got rid of the Shah. And so it's been they've been a target ever since. But Israel will not have the United States back them in the event if they decide to go in there and bomb Iran to do anything crazy to break this peace pact. And they're aware of it. And as a result of that, they can't sustain, because apparently Iran has some S-4 missiles they got from Russia, non-nuclear, but it would blow Israel off the map. Israel knows it. They can't do it themselves. And they got their hands full as it is with all the crap they're starting all over the Middle East. So I don't think we're going to have what I've been told a couple of weeks ago. That's because of the chatter going on now, they call it. So I just want to bring that up. But, Cynthia, I'm agreement, peace throughout the world, diplomacy. But it's all about everybody's natural resources. Their big thing, their oil, their minerals. That's what the New World Order wants, and they're willing to kill millions of people like they have in Iraq all over this oil. I mean,
but you know what, Stuart? The thing is that who are the real beneficiaries? It's not my next door neighbor, and it's not me, and it's not you. It's that political elite, that small little cabal of people, and they are the ones who benefit. They are the ones who benefit from the wars, the incessant wars, because they own the war machinery. So, this, to say that this is U.S. foreign policy and it's made in the interest of the American people is just not true.
And it is very true. And the 12, you know, I have always pointed, because I've identified them, the Illuminati 12, and that comes to George Herbert Walker Bush, Henry Kissinger, Leonard Milman, Larry Mizell, Paul Warburg, Meyer Rothschild, David Rockefeller, William Grace, Anwar Ben-Sheri, the head rabbi in Israel, Pope Benedict, you know, those are, and Meyer Rothschild, you know, and what's amazing about these 12 Satanists, the Illuminati, is that there's 8 of them here in the United States, and they're dictating this world policy. And, you know, Cynthia, I've looked at these general accounting numbers and followed the money trail for years, and in 81, 1% of the population controlled 20% of the economy, whereas in the General Accounting Office put out back in June of 2012 that 400 men were in control now of 95% of the U.S. economy, and this was in June of 2012, and that those 400 men made more money per year than half of the 330 million population of the United States, which is unheard of. There's no way that they could do that. 400 men could not do that without all this theft, fraud, the deception, theft of government, the bank bailout, all the narcotics trafficking, everything they do. And of course, taking over, like Dennis Kucinich. Do you take Iraq and his impeachment on July the 20th of 2008 against George W. Bush when he proposed impeachment proceedings? And of course, that went nowhere. No fanfare. The only people that covered it was C-SPAN. Nothing in the mainstream press. But he had it right in those articles of impeachment that, you know, Halliburton controlled 10% of the oil coming out of Iraq in exchange for all the drilling and the pipelines and everything they had running. That was Daddy Bush and Dick Cheney's company. And then after the attack by 2008, after the takeover in Iraq, that the five sister oil companies, which these 12 men own, that they were controlling 90% of the oil, and the Iraq government was only getting 10% of the oil. Their dominance is unbelievable.
Right. And so that means that we're experiencing government by criminal syndicate.
That's very true. You know, a friend of mine in the CIA says, that our government, he says, is so intertwined with this organized crime syndicate. He calls them the 12 disciples of Satan, are his words. And he calls them that because they are. But he said it's so intertwined, and they control these career employees at the very top, just like the Justice Department. They've controlled those career employees right underneath Eric Holder, and like they controlled him and all the other attorney generals ever since 81, and the inspector general's office with Lee Reddick, and now you got David Mann running the show. And I've got David Mann's bribes. He laundered through a company called M&L in Denver years ago. That's how they got him on the payroll. And I've got the proof and evidence. And this was an IRS sting operation, folks. They nailed a lot of people, but they couldn't nail them. They couldn't even get them. And then it took them 10, 15 years, and then in 1997, they finally took Milman and Mizell and Mayor Frederico Pena and all that. They took them for a grand jury, and they all settled up for $100 million in fines and never went to jail. I mean, it's bizarre what goes on with these people. They pay fines, and they walk away. They pay fines, and they walk away. You know, they steal for every, you know, say, $1 million they steal, they set aside 10%. To cover everything up and pay attorney fees to get out of it. I mean, it's just bizarre. We need to put a stop to this. We need them prosecuted, and if we have to, we're going to one day have to do it ourselves.
well, we're going to have to do it ourselves. And we're the ones who have to stop it. If we don't stop it, then it will continue because they are not going to stop. So the question, though, is how do we stop it? How do we stop them?
That's a good question. I could think of all kinds of things, but if I said it, they'd probably be at my door tomorrow trying to put me in handcuffs, and that's going to start my war with them.
I'm a firm believer, Cynthia and Stu, that you have to start. You can't go up at the federal level to stop anything. It's too corrupt. The bureaucrats there are too embedded, and they're the ones who are being paid off also. So you have to start at your local level. This little county commissioners, these little people that you vote for at your local level. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be done fast, but if you start at the local level and start changing there and pressuring there, you can pressure from there up. You go from there, you go to your mayors go to your governors, and your district attorneys go to the state attorneys, and then you start pressuring from there. Listen, a governor has a lot of power. And if we can get a state, just like we did with the VA here in Florida, we'd started at the local level. We knew we couldn't defeat anything going straight to the Veterans Administration, so we went to Governor Scott. Actually, we went through our local representative and pressured him. We embarrassed him into going up and threatened that if he didn't work with us, we'd be standing in front of his school with your daddy's a murderer signs in front of his kid's school. So they did. It worked. We embarrassed him into doing it. And by God, thank God, we got some action.
Yeah, well, okay. That's a prescription then. Because imagine if we did that 435 times in front of every representative. And then eventually those who didn't do right, we just would replace them because there would be a consciousness revolution among the voters. That's really what we need. And of course, you know, the elimination of the electronic voting machines.
You can attest to that, can't you? Firsthand.
That's right. They voted all over the state of Georgia and I was just running in one district.
Well, that's Daddy Bush and East Systems and the West Star satellite system that has controlled that, Cynthia. Goes back to Inslaw and the Promise software, or the prosecutor software, and all that stuff they put in there with Michael Reconosciuto and Raymond Lovis and that whole crowd. And that all came back from that little terrorist FBI organization running Capison out there. And Michael Reconosciuto's in prison. He can tell you all about it. He's got 1 year left before he gets out, but he tried to turn on them, and they set him up, put him in jail. But that's what's ruined America. That's the reason we vote, and we can't vote the people we want in. We got to do something. We've got to go on the local level. Like Gene says, I say, you know, do the recall petitions and on everybody you can. That's about 90% of them we can get out, but I think if we go to the local level and start waking it up and get a consensus going on this, and everybody starts really doing something, you know, waking up your local politicians. I tell you, you know, you mentioned the Midwest. You know, I intentionally do things to see what kind of reaction there is. You know, and I'll be out in public, say I'll go to the gas station and get some gas or run up to the store, grab something, and I'll mention something. I'll hear a conversation and people will be looking at the cash register, or they'd be pumping the gas or whatever. And of course, gas price going back up, folks, to about $100 a gallon. It's MSNBC. Oh, we're going to have a shortage now here soon because we've used up all the world oil supplies. So guess what? Their little game in breaking putting didn't happen. And now oil will go back up to that $100 benchmark price soon. But you sit there and their gas price is going up and you say, oh God, here we go again. Here's the Bush crime syndicate going to screw us again. And people react. I mean, they'll get engaged in conversation. Yeah, this government we've got's corrupt. You make some statement like that. And man, four or five people will sit and make a comment. I made a comment one night out with a friend, a couple friends. One was a Treasury agent. And I was out with them no more than a month ago. And I happened to go in and use the restroom. And some guy was in there, you know, squirting your hands with soap and all this stuff. It was a little hot spot in Kansas City. I happened to be out with him. having some talks, and the guy listens to my show. And, oh, Stu, how you doing? I love your show. Love your show. Anyway, black kid. And he started the conversation. Next thing you know, there's a couple of guys. Oh, you have a radio show? Yeah. And he tells him, oh, yeah, the Veterans Truth Radio. And next thing you know, these two guys says, well, I'm a vet. I'm going back to Iraq soon. I'm going back to Afghanistan soon. They were pals and they were out. And I mean, it started a commotion. And it went out of there, went outside, and we're all standing out there, and here they got a dance floor, and they got a band playing, and all of a sudden we got 50 people surrounding us, and we're talking about how corrupt the government is. And I'm not even the one pushing it. Other people were pushing it. And they were like, well, what's your station? Yeah, I'm tired of this government. I've been over on 6 tours of duty. I want it stopped. I mean, I've spent my whole life over there. Some kid in his mid-20s.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like ex-vets were standing around. Yeah, we're going to have to take this over one of these days. These kind of comments are being made out here in middle America, in Kansas City. So, you know, if they want to put enact Jade Helm and they want to send the troops in the streets of Kansas City, I guarantee you, back in the, what was it, the last Civil War, they called them bushwhackers. I like that name, by the way. They called them bushwhackers. You know how come?
No.
They would leave the, you look it up. I like the name because it's called bushwhackers in today's society. But back then, it was that when the fall came and the leaves lost their leaves, they would go south into Arkansas because they would hide in the bushes during the cover of green. So in the spring, they would come back up into the Midwest to fight the battle. And because they would hide in the bushes, they could be hidden and snipe them off and so on and so forth. But We've got people out here, a lot more Americans than sit around maybe listening to the truth or going to websites and reading about the truth. Middle mainstream America that's sitting at home is not turning on these propaganda networks. They're turning on the local news and weather and seeing things like that. But they're not listening anymore to the Bill O'Reillys. And they're not listening to the Sean Hannitys. You have a segment of that population that will always do that because they're brainwashed. But I don't think they're listening anymore, Cynthia. I think that they're fed up to their eyeballs. They're barely able to keep food on the table. And their way of living has changed to a point that they want leadership. They want somebody to pick up the ball and run with it. What do you think?
I would agree with you. And I don't know if it was when I was doing the... Bike across, was that when I met you when we were doing the bicycle ride across America?
I met you, God, it was in 2002 you came to Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Well, then this was 8 years later. In 2010, I did a bike ride across America. Well, I tried to anyway, found out, you can't just, up and decide that you're gonna do something like that. If you haven't been on a bike in 20 years, you know. But anyway, I did well enough. And so when we went through southern Utah, we went through Missouri, we went that way, through Kentucky all the way. We started in California, and we went from California to Washington, D.C. It was Bike for Peace. And so we said we were going to... the White House to protest Obama's wars. And there were 6 of us. And so we're in Nevada in the middle of the desert, and we're at a restaurant, and the woman who is waiting on us at the restaurant starts talking, you know, like you're talking about, you know, you drop something and then you see where it goes. And this woman started talking about how Washington, D.C. was all wrong and blah, 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 blah. And there was so much wisdom coming from this woman. And so after we finished eating, I went back to her and I asked her, I said, ma'am, could you please tell me... what you know, how you figured it out? And she said, I just listen to what they say on the television, and then I look at my life. And my what they say on television doesn't match my life. Like, for example, if they say, oh, the economy is growing, and, you know, we're having this growth and everything, you know. And so I thought that was the smartest thing. She just looks at her life, and she compares it to the propaganda, and she understands that it's propaganda because it's not happening in her world.
Very good point, Cynthia. Gene, yeah. You got any comments? Gene, are you still there?
I had to run back at the server. I have to change something around.
Okay, I understand. We'll have all this problem fixed soon. It's our fundraiser we're doing. But you have any comments on what her statements were? Did you hear them? Were you able to hear them?
No. Unfortunately, there's only gauges there.
Well, that's all right. We were just talking, Gene, about how common people, everyday people in the United States really do get it. That there's a shift in the consciousness now.
They do, Cynthia, but there's also a fear factor there that's been embedded in them through not only through having friends. Look, how many friends and relatives are... How many people have relatives or friends sitting in jail right now or in federal facilities? We're talking about a huge percentage of America that have seen the corruption and what trying to fight that can do. So that fear factor has been placed, and people are fearful. Or the other side, and they're complacent. They're just absolutely complacent. Hey, Martha, let's get off the couch and do something about this. Henry, if you do, I'll slap the hell out of you. You sit down here and mind our own business.
And they see how corrupt the courts are. They can't get any place and anywhere. And it's really bad. I mean, I know three attorneys right over in Kansas City have been disbarred because they fought for people's constitutional and civil rights. And they have fought against the Jeb Bush angle of the health care and all, where they were taking it over, and they've lost their licenses and kid trafficking in Kansas. I mean, it's just bizarre what has gone on. And these are just, you know, I came across a whole bunch of attorneys down in Dallas, or not only Dallas, but Dallas and Houston both. They were losing their law licenses back in the 1990s. And because they were taking on different elements of this crime syndicate. And next thing you know, 10 days later, they don't have a law license. And it came all back to the Bushes once again, this organized crime syndicate. And we have to remember, folks, who in the heck put these people in power, these federal judges. It was Daddy Bush, and then Clinton's, and then George Jr. I called him the retarded one, by the way.
You know, Cynthia, we have supposed whistleblowers, attorneys that think that they can come on the network and talk, but... Just minutes before, they turn tail and run. Isn't that right, Stu?
Yeah, we had one tonight do that without getting into it or mentioning any names. You know, he'd been around there for a while, but same thing. Turn tail and run. Yeah, because they're cowards.
Wow.
You know, people are cowards. There's a lot of cowards out here. And then we got a lot of people with the guts. And, Cynthia, I give you credit. You got guts. I've known you for years.
Yeah.
You know? We ought to be drafting Cynthia McKinney as President of the United States and throw Bush and Hillary out. By the way, I might add, I got more information over the past few days on Hillary. Apparently, while she was in the State Department, she was definitely collecting paychecks out of Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and Yemen and other places, Qatar, and on her little special trips she was running around, and everybody was feeding her. Well, she wasn't putting that money that was going to go to her... to her husband's big, his foundation. Yeah, instead they got diverted over to Swiss bank accounts and different places. So she's got her little fund over there of about $2 billion, folks. So she's going to be all financed up, be able to handle the whole election, and she thinks, and that nobody will be able to out-finance her. Well, I heard also that Jeb Bush, Daddy, has been You know, he's in a wheelchair and he doesn't do much. Barbara gives the orders now, but he's telling her to call up the hierarchy directly underneath him and raise the money. And Jeb Bush has raised $800 million now that he has not announced. He'll be announcing soon that he's got $100 million behind him, but he's actually raised $800 million. This is crime, organized crime throwing
well,
in the money.
Well, Cynthia, fundraising back in the old days, what they didn't spend, they could keep, couldn't they?
Well, back in the old days, yes, but that was changed after one of the scandals. I can't remember which one, but they changed it. But so it has to either be donated to a charity, but now who's to say whose charity it is and who's in charge of that charity, or you keep it in the campaign fund. And if you keep it in the campaign fund, then you can influence other elections. So
I see. Or if your name's Dole and your husband runs for president and
right.
he loses, it can go to the American Red Cross, and the director of the American Red Cross can get paid a big bonus that year.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is Dole, right? Oh, this is Dole.
I see how it works.
Yeah. Well, see, you know, everybody's thinking about how to pad their coffers instead of how to protect the American people. And, you know, I just feel sometimes so powerless because people still contact me. I've got a woman who they're trying to take her children away from her in New York City. And, you know, she reaches out to me. People still call me, and there's nothing I can do except tell them go to their elected representative, but their representatives are not paying attention to them. So you know, our people are hurting. Our people are hurting. And everybody is, you know, taking politics as show business. It's either show business or bank business. It's a way to make a deposit. And then what we're given is a choice between Hillary Clinton and Jeb Bush. Well, that's not very much choice at all.
It's one crime syndicate and the same crime syndicate. So,
well, the only way a civilian can hope to do anything is attack their bank account somehow, cost them money, or
yes.
cost them ego, their character.
So
the best way is to attack their ego, like I was saying earlier.
Absolutely.
They have huge egos.
I'll tell you a story about me attacking the bank accounts. I filed for a grand jury demand, and I still have the demand, and the judge says, you know, after testifying for another judge, because I named judge in his district, and it's case number 95Y107. It's still active with a standing order by the judge. Mr. Webb, if the U.S. attorney doesn't do his job, I will allow you to go forward to grand jury with your attorney. Still ordered, yet it's never been dismissed. Now, what happens after I filed this, Cynthia, on February the 1st, 1995, named George Herbert Walker Bush, George W., Jeb, Neil, Bill, and Hillary Clinton, my ex-in-law, Leonard Melman, his partner, Mizell, the scamster, bank bailout scamster, their attorney, Norman Brownstein, that was Daddy Bush's attorney when his CIA director, his own attorney as well, and all these different ones in there, and the attorney general at the time, and I had them all racked up, and, you know, my ex-wife for attempted murder on our daughter when she was an infant, had it all in there. And what I did is I dropped it on, I called up the New York Stock Exchange because I had MDC Holdings named, which was the parent of Silverado, where Neil Bush was the director, you know, underneath George H.W. Bush. And I named MDC Holdings and Richmond Homes in there, their subsidiary company. And because of frauds that I'd gotten on an illegal political campaign money laundering where they still had liability there that the SEC settled with them. They basically dropped the ball on it in Denver. Well, anyway, I took it. I called the New York Stock Exchange. And that's where we really had internet. And I asked them for their trading floor fax machine. And the gal was happy to give me the fax machine, and I shoved it across the fax machine 3 times in that 8-hour day period. Well, the next day, MDC stock dropped for $24 a share, because they were named in this grand jury demand, down to about $9 a share. The following day, it appeared in the front page of the Denver Post that MDC Larry Mizell, chairman, had run the buyback up the stock, that the company was buying up the stock, and that it cost him $2.5 million out of pocket to buy the stock back. Well, about 3 days later, I get anthraxed. Yeah, which wasn't a very pleasant experience. So, it can be done. You can drop their stock. You can do things to them, affect them financially, and then they try coming and killing you. So,
I go for going after their ego. How about you, Cynthia?
I like, because, you know, I remember when, I can't remember which organization it was, decided to protest in front of Nancy Pelosi's house. And she, her real colors came out when she started calling them all kinds of names and everything. But, I can't remember what the issue was, and I can't remember the group, but they definitely got the attention of, at that time, she was Speaker of the House, when they went on her street, in her neighborhood, in front of her house, and delivered their message. I agree with that.
That's a good idea. I'm in agreement with it. I think that the recall petitions is one of the best ways to go at this, and it's real simple to do, and because they signed the Patriot Act, and anybody signed that Patriot Act is in violation of the Constitution, and they swore an oath of the office to defend it. So therefore, that's one reason to get them. And all so you have to do is file it and go out and get the signatures, get volunteers, get the voting record, and do a printout of the registered voters and compare their signatures. Ask them for their driver's licenses, where you can compare the signatures and go at it that way. Now, they did that in Colorado. 3 different people, I promoted them on my radio program, got them on other people's program, and they got enough volunteers that they were able to recall there in almost 7 months, I think it was, in Colorado, those that down in Pueblo and Colorado Springs, one of them actually resigned because she said, I'm not going to go under recalled. I know I'm done. So she just resigned her power because they were voting to take away people's guns out in Colorado. Now, this was 2 years ago, and it sent a message. So, you know, that draft, folks, is up on stuweb.com on my site. Just put in recall petitions. It's real simple. You can take that boilerplate and go out there and do something. You file it with the Secretary of State's office and put the congressman or senator in there and make sure your state allows it. 9 out of 10 states allow this sort of thing on the federal level and the state level. There's 10% that don't. But that's one way of getting them out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, go out and spend $3.98 at Home Depot, get yourself some poster board and a marker, mark it up, get your group together, spend $5 in gas and drive to your local representative's house and stand out there with those signs. Give a cell call to your local newspaper. I guarantee you'll get heard.
Yes, I agree with you, Chip. I agree with you.
That's
it's low cost, low threat, and high visibility and high efficiency.
That's where all the Occupy movement ought to be because, you know, our younger generation here, we're a little bit older, Cynthia. And Gene and I are. I'm 60. Gene, what are you, 62 now, I think?
And climbing, yes.
That's right. If we're lucky, we all are climbing.
But, you know, we've got this younger generation of people out here that, you know, they're educated. They get their college education and they come out thinking they're going to have a career and, they don't have anything. And they're lucky to be able to meet their obligation, which they can't bankrupt on, these student loans. And their parents, many of them are having to pick them up or they're paying them and living in their parents' homes, or whatever, or doubling up, tripling up and, they can't make a living. They don't have a real life like they expected to have. You know, if they were standing out there instead of standing up on Wall Street, which they never really knew what the problem was. They knew it was Wall Street was part of it, but they really never even knew. And, you know, if they were to go out there and get, you know, the Occupy, the congressmen and senators' homes, I think you got a very good point, Gene.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you and I agree with Gene. And the other thing is that it would be very easy for, you know, what they Arab Spring to become an American Spring. And I think they know that. And so just with a little bit of kindling, well, we got a whole lot of kindling. What we need is the spark. And they have the ability to light the spark. That's also something that we need to be acutely aware of. And we have to then, of course, question the intentions of a government that puts an operation like Jade Helm together. When you declare that there are certain states inside the United States that are to be considered enemy states as in the playing of the game of the simulation, that's worrisome. What in the heck are you actually studying? And when you say that you want to test the ability of agents to or military to blend in with the general population, well, heck, they're already doing that. We've got you know, what is it, if you see something, say something. You've got the FBI has this army of people on payroll to inform on their neighbors and that sort of thing. So you've already got the building blocks in place for this kind of police state.
Yeah, it's the neighborhood crime watches. That's where they really set it up. They got them right in there. Trolls right in your neighborhood.
Right in your neighborhood. But I'm talking about something else. I can't remember the name of it now. But it's even more than the neighborhood watch. Where the FBI actually was recruiting at one point people for the purpose of becoming like professional informants. I mean, this is
they still do, Cynthia. That's a not only the FBI. You have Homeland Security. All of them have that in place. And if you work with them now, it's a non-paying position. But if you're able to get a conviction on someone or get someone arrested or recoup funds or something like that, there are rewards paid to you up to 20%. So it can become very lucrative for some to work in that professional, semi-professional program. The key to Jade Helm, what I see, is the military is not accustomed to working with, the three-letter agencies, FBI, DHS, ICE, mm-hmm. Any of them, CIA, NSA. So this joint agency exercise allows this joint agency deployment exercise, JADE, allows these military men to work hand in hand with the civilian counterparts in law enforcement and in investigations and in whatever you want to call them, to blend together, be able to work together efficiently to do their job more effectively when they feel they have to do it.
Oh, well that's news to me because I didn't even know that that's what the Jade stood for, but
it's not, it's what I call it, but it works.
Oh, okay.
but it is joint agency. It's
yeah,
joint
okay.
administration.
Mm-hmm.
And they're deploying. And they say it's an exercise, so that works for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at any rate, can you imagine? I mean, I don't think any of our World War II veterans would say, this is what we were fighting for. Or I don't think any of our civil rights activists would say, this is what we were struggling for. This is not that America, you know? And the United States is truly changing before our very eyes. And, I just remain in a state of outrage. And sometimes I wonder, well, what is it in the water? I mean, you know, why is it that people aren't as outraged as I am, you know, at a general level? So that's why when I was in the Nevada desert, I was really, really pleased to hear this woman say what she said, because it was a clear indication that she saw through what the, you know, all of the propaganda was.
A lot of people are, Cynthia. I'm gonna let you take the mic and run with it, which direction you want to go. We've got about 15 more minutes. We're going to be joined by Dr. William Croft, and you're going to have fun with him.
Well, I know I'm not going to say very much because my throat's still sore, but one of the things that I've noticed, I think the last time we talked about the geoengineering, as it's called, and I just came back from a peace conference that was held in New Jersey of this past weekend. The United National Anti-War Coalition. So it's a coalition of all of the peace groups. And there we had a very momentous discussion about 911, which is very important to bring the issue of 911 before the peace community, because how in the world are you going to say you want to stop the wars and you completely ignore the justification that's given by the Bush administration as well as the Obama administration for the wars? So you have to have a discussion of 911 in conjunction with your discussion about these bogus wars. And one of the veterans there made the point in opposition to the motion that was on the floor to discuss 911 next conference, which in effect allowed us to discuss 911 this conference. And but he said, well, you can't focus on, if you were against the Vietnam War, you can't just focus on the Gulf of Tonkin incident. But it was the Gulf of Tonkin, and now this is me saying, it was the Gulf of Tonkin incident, the investigation into it that led to the realization that it was bogus, that helped to justify the anti-war people, that to justify their argument that the war itself was not for the stated purposes. It was for something else, but it wasn't for what they were saying it was. And so then, likewise, we have to have this investigation into 911. So I think we made some good strides in at least getting the topic of discussion on the floor. And then maybe in the future, we'll be able to join anti-war with 911 truth. The other thing that I think we've talked about, while I was there at the conference, I was interviewed by Michael, now of course I can't remember his name, but he does all of the geoengineering videos that I hope both of you have seen. The first one was, what in the world are they spraying? Did you see that one?
I haven't seen that video, but...
Oh, you must see it. You must see it. And then the second one was, why in the world are they spraying? And both of those, all I did was look up, and I saw these strange, irregular shapes that was, you know, mimicking clouds. And I knew that, well, that's not a cloud. So I found his two documentaries online, and so I looked at them, and I was totally convinced. And then the Italians most recently have done a documentary about the geoengineering and the real reasons. I didn't realize that there was so much money to be made in weather and weather control. Were you guys aware of that?
Modification and HAARP and all that, the Alaskan Tower up there, that's part of it.
That was, yes.
Yeah, Arkell Oil on there, Robert Anderson. He was a Bush Milman stooge. And when they had that Arkell, that came from Cynthia, that all that Arkell land, or all that land up there, on the North Slope oil. And if you remember, that pipeline was supposed to come into the U.S. and was supposed to feed us all the oil, and we were going to be completely independent of any Arab nations, the Aramco, Daddy Bush crowd, the 12 Satanists, and Illuminati boys, and we were supposed to be all independent of that. And then what happens? All that oil is being shipped to Japan and different places. Nobody here in America really gets it. But they took that land and they developed their HAARP. They put that higher aura something frequency or whatever, and that's where they started it up, weather modification. And then in 2006, they actually moved the jet stream 500 miles south, and I reported on the first to report because I heard about it, and that caused mass ice storms down in Texas and Oklahoma that they had never seen in April of that year. And ever since that, you can look at the weather map. I mean, weatherchannel.com, on the weather channel itself, and you see these horrific storms coming across, and instead of the jet stream running from the top of the Pacific across, you know, like this time of the year, it gets up there, the northern jet stream gets up around the Canadian border or so, you'll see it come across the United States like east to west, normal jet stream pretty much, with a little dip here or there. And instead, you'll see that jet stream now, it looks like a friggin' snake at times. It will be coming off of Alaska, shooting straight down the west coast, coming back up, coming up the mountain range like a snake, and then all of a sudden going straight east when it gets over the northern Iowa area. And this creates and sets off these mass F4 and F5 tornadoes. This is what's going on. And it's, I'll tell you right now, I've exposed it before. It's the Space Command Center is now in control of it. Daddy Bush and them turned it over to them to take it and further develop it. And they sit underneath the Air Force base out there in Colorado Springs is where the Space Command Center is. So that's where your Aurora HAARP machine, that's where their headquarters is, and it needs to be stopped. That needs to be stopped. And these chemtrails need to be stopped. Now, you learned something from others in this Italian. We talked just for a minute on it, and you were talking about this video film. Isn't this dealing with military stuff on the spray?
Yes. Well, the Italian documentary talks about the corporations that profit from weather control. And so one of them is like Big Ag. Profits from water, from weather control. So that's one motivation. But then the big motivation that is exposed in this Italian documentary is the military and the NSA spying. The signals don't penetrate foggy, cloudy, moisture-laden air very well. So you have to dry the air, and the dry air facilitates military communications and the NSA spying. And that was brought out in this Italian documentary that also is available online. A very interesting 2 hours. I believe it's a 2-hour documentary, well worth every minute.
What's the name of it, Cynthia?
I can't remember. But if you search Italian geoengineering documentary, it'll come up, because I've done it that way.
Off of Google or
well, you know, I don't use Google because they keep IP addresses. So I use Startpage. startpage.com, and I use it on my Firefox, which is an open source browser. I don't use Internet Explorer and, you know, that sort of. So, because I'm a Mac base anyway. But I try to go as open source as I can on a Mac.
Cynthia, is it called Chemtrails, The Secret War?
Does that say Italian? Does it say something in there that it's Italian?
Italian documentary. And another one, The Awakening Grows, Italian Stage Impressive. Secret War.
It must be The Secret War. Must be that one. Is it 2 hours?
Is it 2 hours, Eric, Gene?
I'm looking. I don't see the time. But hang on. Let me go to YouTube.
Yeah, here's what I searched because it's coming up before. Italian geoengineering chemtrail. Yeah, that's what it is. It's Chemtrails, The Secret War.
Okay, folks, you got the name of it. Cynthia says go look at it. And I'll tell you, when you all see chemtrails, I'm a pilot. It's caused by air flowing over the surface or the engines pushing out water molecules, and it will dissipate. A regular chemtrail will dissipate. These chemtrails that you see tend to expand and stay up there. They don't come. They don't dissipate. So that's one indicator that when you see these, there's something else going on other than jet blast.
Right, that, up to a big
right. Now, what I've noticed is, at least here in Atlanta, for the last week, we've had regular clouds in the sky. My mom knows now to always look up, and she and I have been discussing how the sky is so normal. And we haven't had any rain, and it's still normal. But when I took my flight up to New Jersey, what I realized was that they had sprayed above the clouds. So now I don't know if this is because there's so much ruckus that's being made by people like us that they've had to change their method of spraying or what. But it was all above the clouds.
Actually, we would seed the clouds. That's one way that we would work it.
Okay.
It's called cloud seeding, where you seed the clouds and expands those. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're waiting on a call right here from Dr. William Cross. Cynthia, where do you want to go now? It's still your time.
Well, here's a Italian senator calls for declassification of geoengineering. So, you know, it's happening. It slowly but surely it's happening. And all we need is another Frank Church. That's all we need. One Frank Church in the U.S. Senate. And we'll get a lot of our answers, because secrets from the American people, the government is funded by us. It acts on behalf of us. It acts with our interest in mind, even though, you know, government, I don't like to say government. I like to say the individuals that constitute the government. And so therefore, when it doesn't act on our behalf, then we have to call them on it. And all it would take is one courageous senator and a lot of things, along with a very attentive and supportive public. And a lot of these questions can be answered.
Okay, what we need to do is occupy the Congress and Senate's home address.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I guess we're going to start the new Cynthia McKinney Occupy Their Homes, right? I like that idea. And Cynthia, the Dr. William Croft, pathologist, is on with us. And we have Gene Chip Tatum here also, CI whistleblower extraordinaire. we have him on, but we have Dr. William Croft, pathologist that has gotten into this chemtrail stuff. He's also, he's a former professor at a University of Wisconsin. He's been a political prisoner for 1 year for exposing toxic mold. And, you know, he has a website, William Croft. But I saw a special, Cynthia, about 2 weeks ago. One Saturday, I was flipping the channels on the propaganda to see what it was. And a Saturday, and on CNN, it said forensic files. And they were showing this house, and they were showing black mold. And I said, wait a minute, I'm going to watch this. Well, I called old Doc Croft up here, and he knew all about it, or the people, because he dealt with them. And now the woman's dead because she never got the toxic mold out of her body. And this is something that grows in homes after they've the roof gets damaged or whatever, or water problems inside the home, and people go and use bleach instead of using ammonia to kill it with, and instead of using ammonia on their to clean their carpets, they use different chemicals that carpet cleaners come in and clean, and that creates mold. And we have a mold epidemic in this country. But I brought him on tonight to talk about this massive bird flu problem. But he's aware of chemtrails because he brought a pilot on no more than about 3 weeks ago that is actually involved in spraying in behalf of the United States Air Force. And so welcome, Dr. Croft. Meet Cynthia McKinney.
Thank you, Sue.
Former Congresswoman Dr. Cynthia McKinney, soon to be Dr. and Gene Chip Tatum. So welcome aboard, Doc.
Hi.
We were just discussing chemtrails.
Oh, now I called Secret Agent Man, and he's been studying that over the last few weeks. He says they're very interesting things, but he can't make it tonight, and he'll say, come on next week or week after that and tell us all about it. He's been really adding some super observations, like the planes that fly over Florida and what happens in the weather, and so they control weather also. So it's very interesting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, Cynthia was just discussing about Italian documentary on this that Gene just found. What's the name of it again, Gene? I think he might have stepped out there checking the things on the surface.
It's called The Secret Chemtrails, The Secret War.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But I brought you on. I thought maybe we'd have a discussion. You know what it's doing to people, and maybe we can talk about the bird flu a little bit on how we're going to have no turkeys or chickens by what, September probably in America.
This is a game of what we call, I always like to call it, tricks of the rich, and the rich are attempting to control us. They want to reduce the population. Why? Because it's easier to control 2 billion people rather than 7, and so that's what they do. It's always this and that, and so now they're trying to reduce the food supply by reducing the birds. If you look at the bird population, it's by a virus that they call the N5 one now, and this is created by man that went around and infected these large ranches with these birds and so on. They blamed it on the bird migrating birds. Well, in fact, the migrating birds were 3 months before this even outbroke, and so therefore they had nothing really to do it. Besides, we don't see any dead birds of migrating birds, and so this is really getting to be a very obvious of what has happened. I was talking to a lady that has dealt with that flu, and she said the best antiseptic to that whole thing is to have sunlight and fresh air. And that will usually kill the bird. The light will kill that virus. And that reminds me of, I'm sort of a spiritual person, and so I'm reminded that the light is always stronger than the dark. And of course, the virus is a demonic thing that's been placed on society to deal with. And of course, if we deal with the light will deal with that virus and eliminate it. She said that if these poultry plants would open their doors and windows all up and get it all light in there, that virus would disintegrate very quickly after birds have been removed. So,
speaking of light, you're speaking of God, is what you're saying.
Yeah, but remember, we are the light, and if you want to remove those things, all you have to do is ask God to bring forth a spiritual means, and then say, will you pull this virus off of this bird? And it will happen. As simple as that, you know. At the end of the program, I'll recite the prayer that I usually say for something like that. So hang on there.
Okay, now we've been talking about the fact of, Doc, we've been talking here with Cynthia about the fact of how corrupt this government is, how the Congress and Senate doesn't do what we tell them to do, how our public officials are all in the trough. And Cynthia, I want you to reiterate, if you would, for a moment, about what happened to you in the last election, how you had to sign that document. Will you tell everybody again? Because that was a hit. That show has gone viral that you did with us.
Oh, well, you mean not the last election,
not
but
the Scott Bennett, but the last show that we did that you talked about COINTELPRO and about AIPAC and how you had to sign that AIPAC document. Reiterate that, would you, for doctors?
Right, yeah. Well, that was my very first congressional campaign back in 1992, the so-called Year of the Woman. And basically what happened was a fax came over the fax machine, and it was from AIPAC, and it had these points, and then at the bottom it asked for my signature, and I was supposed to fax it back to them. And basically I said, well, no, I'm not going to sign it. So because I didn't sign it, then that's when I found out that basically all of the money in Washington, D.C. is pro-Israel lobby money. So whether it was an environmental organization or whether it was a women's organization or, you know, it really didn't matter that they were all connected. And so I would get a phone call. It was like torture. I'd get a phone call, and they'd say, we want to do a fundraiser for you. And so I'd get, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the planning, and then they say, did you sign the pledge? And I say, well, no, I didn't sign the pledge. And then they'd hang up the phone, click up, we can't do the thing. Well, we can't do the fundraiser, and click up. And it really didn't matter. Even women's organizations, I'm the only woman in my race, and, you know, that wasn't enough for women's organizations. So it's an extremely insidious penetration or infiltration of the U.S. political process, which is quite open. And but if you have money, then you can concentrate your money in a particular way and control the outcome of elections, and that's what happened with me.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. But it's so true. We have our governor now, Mr. Walker. He's over in Israel trying to recruit the things, you know, and of course he's funded by Daddy Bush from the crime syndicate. And so
by the way, he's a cousin to Jeb Bush, in case you didn't know, Doc. Mr. Walker is.
What, Scott Walker?
Yep, he's a cousin, second cousin to Jeb Bush.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, it's the Bushes or the Clintons. Bushes or the Clintons, one and the same, the crime syndicate, folks.
Yeah.
And was that you, Stu, who sent me the photograph of Clinton and... No, it's a very young Bill Clinton sitting at the table with a much younger George Herbert Walker, and they're all laughing and joking like it's all in the family.
I didn't send you that, but I've had many of those photographs myself on my site over the years. Yeah, they've been, you know, they put Bill Clinton in power down there. I've had Larry Nichols on, and he helped put Bill Clinton in power. And, you know, I can't say, Larry, I have to tell his story, you know, expand upon it, but Larry has an interesting background. But, you know, it's all that MENA Arkansas, drugs for guns, and you know, all the money laundering, and that's what the Clintons were put in power for, because they basically agreed, you know, for Daddy Bush, they would become the state ground for drug operations in America. I mean, Clintons are no different. I mean, I've got, you know, Clinton's claim they came out of the White House, folks, and they were broke, and they went to the White House broke. That's all bogus stuff. They laundered $2.5 billion into M&L business machines in Denver, and they're the ones that stung the boys with big fines in 1997. And that was an IRS sting operation that went sour.
They have a multi-million dollar ranch in Uruguay and land all over in South America.
It's more gonna
did anyone see? Did anyone see the documentary Tricks of the Rich that concerned the death and the shooting of President Kennedy? They proved that it was definitely George Walker Bush that was involved in the whole thing, along with Nixon and all homeless people, but Walker was really involved in the whole thing.
That's the problem. We've had a coup d'etat by the Illuminati 12, these 12 Satanists, I keep saying, you know, hey, God, I don't hate anybody, but, you know, if you hate evil, that means I can hate evil. And my attitude towards this evil is they need to be strung up in trees, the 12 of them. What they've done to this planet, all the millions of people they've killed. You know, not everybody agrees with me. I think Bruce Campbell's one of the ones that agree with me. We need to put them down. I think thousands, millions of other people claim that too. He brought justice. I've always maintained that. We got to figure out a way to do it. But Doc, we got open mic with Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman of Gene Chip Tatum. So I'm just letting the three of you, if you want to add or make a comment or go wherever you want to, you're welcome to do that.
Well, I'd like to kind of update everybody with some. I'm researching mold all the time, and I can tell you some of the interesting cases I'm coming across. For example, on breast implants, it turns out that yeast get into the body for one reason or another, and then they're infecting the going right through the membrane of these enhanced breast enhancers, and there they start to grow on the inside. On saline implants, they grow, and then the white mold or aspergillus then transmutes and changes metabolism and makes estrogen instead of trichothecane. So I'll make some of that, but mostly estrogen. And there's a young lady that was involved with that. Her uterus got so huge that she barely could pass any feces at all. She said it was like giving birth to about 4 or 5 children at one time. And so when we took out the yeast implanted implant, it all went back to normal, which was really great for her. But that's one thing. And then it did also the same thing. I got another case on with the silicon. And it went right through the membrane again, but it didn't grow like in the saline. But what happened is that it grew on the inside the liner, but it also then caused some release of the silicon in the immune system just outside, and the outside of the membrane was inflammatory tissue. And examining that, you could see inflammatory cells, but also macrophages with some of that silicon in. So what we're hoping now is that we can reduce the sugar content to the yeast, not feed them anymore, and then let them eat the silicon to digest that and let them eat that and then remove that from the body. Now, when the planet was first being formed, you're probably thinking I'm crazy, but when the planet was first being formed, there was a big-time problem down on the planet in the sense that there was dead debris and stalks and all kinds of on the Earth. And so the hierarchy came to God and said, hey, there seems to be a problem down there. The mold's not doing its job. You want to go down and check them out? So he goes down there and he says, what's up, guys? How come you're not digesting all this dead material? Well, we can't eat this stuff. It makes us sick. He said, God said, well, if I give you the enzymatic machinery to eat this stuff, well, you'll do it? Of course. So now the fungi have all this yeast, all this enzyme to go ahead and to go and digest. These yeast literally flow through that membrane like there's just water or butter. There's no problem. And so they have the enzymatic machine to gobble up this stuff. So what we're hoping now is that if we take the food like sugar and things like that, of course, food is a lot more, they certainly deserve more sugar. But anyway, we're hoping that they will then go ahead and consume the silicon rather than starve to death. So well, I'll have to let you know in a few weeks how that turns out. So, and the age-old problem is in schools. is that in schools, they don't do the maintenance on these buildings, leaky roofs, lawns, and there's a school right now in Michigan that has 800 children, all the younger grades, that are being poisoned with these, with the mycotoxins. And of course, they all think it's a big joke, and there's a room there that kids keep, and teachers keep dying. Every 2 or 3 years, there's a teacher that dies in that room. And of course, the low man on a totem pole gets to teach in that room. And so it's always a big joke. But, you know, so I'm trying to figure out, why is a weapon of mass destruction in this country, classified as that, allowed to go about? Because the tricks of the rich allow it to happen. So what we have to do is start standing up to this type of thing and try and fight it and get as much information out there as we can. Teaching them not to use bleach, but use ammonia, and so on and so forth. So that's about it. And the other thing I want to remind everybody to buy my book, because that's how I finance my research. And the name of the book is Synapse. So, and I, you can find me on the web at...
Doc, you've got your book in download form for, what is it, $2.99 or $3.99?
$3.99, yeah.
Hold out of your body and so forth, and you know, how to starve it out and get rid of it. Now, you've talked about this in the past, that what is it, 50% of the population of the United States now has mold in them?
Yeah, it turns out that there's a movie about sugar in the United States and how there's a great big demand for sugar in the environment, and that's approximately 50%. And I can't remember the name of it right now, the movie, but I watched it the other day. And now, if you look at the amount of mycotoxins in the population, it's around 50% also. So one is feeding the other. And so what I think we should do is start sending all this candy bars and candy over to ISIS and just start feeding those guys all this stuff. And we might be doing some good.
Now, you've also talked about the fact that mold, because it's that bad in America, that... And chemtrails, and you know that they've been using as a toxic mold, spraying to people. You're aware of it, your studies. Now, one of the things is, and you did this for DOD, I mean, you were inside their barracks cleaning out as far as directing what they needed to do, the Department of Defense, and so on and so forth. I mean, you have a pretty good reputation in history here of this. But people who use bleach around their bathrooms, they actually are gassing themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, it turns out, you know, you could be scrubbing down the shower and that bleach don't work. So what you do is, well, I better try some ammonia. So then you don't rinse it out or anything. You just bring that ammonia in there, and that forms an amine gas, and that will kill you in a short period of time. So you don't want to do that. Besides, you don't want to bring bleach into a mycotoxin like that, because it chlorinates ring A on the 9-10 position. And then that takes on the shape the same as chloridane. It's not the same molecule, but the molecular arrangement of that molecule is the same as chloridane. And so that'll give you a brain tumor. And there's a school up in upstate New York where they had this big problem of a tunnel that was being mold contaminated. And so they flushed it out with chlorine gas. Well, 5 children were dead within a year from brain cancer. So it's a very, very aggressive a molecule that you have to watch out for. It also happened to a friend of mine over in Nevada. They did the same thing. His house was all fluted with mold that came away in the weekend. The ruptured hose on their washing machine irrigated the house with hot water. Well, they didn't take care of it. They dried it all out, and they just used bleach on it. And, well, a short period of time, it just came right back again. And see, bleach doesn't kill it. It just chlorinates everything, and it doesn't kill that mold. You don't kill mold, you have to starve it out, unless you use ammonia. Ammonia will digest the hyphae and the plant and neutralize the mycotoxin, which is an epoxide, and neutralize that, and it falls all apart. See? So that's what you want to do if you can. In my book, I talk about how the background of this mold came to view and so on. And it was part of Bin Laden's plan and Colonel Gaddafi's plan to bring forth this weapon. The biggest problem with that weapon is that they couldn't deliver it. You had to have an airplane or something like that. But now all they have to do is poke holes in the roof of a school building, and since we don't have money for maintenance, that starts to go untreated, unfixed, and so now we have schools, approximately 10% of schools have unfixed roofs in this country that are poisoning children. It's just so astonishing. The greatest resource we have in this country is our children. And what the hell are we doing with them? We're just not protecting them or nothing. So, you know,
Dr. Remus has her program on this network, on Veterans Truth Network, and she's had on several doctors, including one that's showing that, hey, folks, if you have an iPad after 6 to 8 months sitting there on your couch watching your TV, playing with your iPad, you're sterile. And if you're giving iPads to your children, you're not going to have any future grandkids. You might as well just hang it up because you're making them sterile. So we're trying to bring the truth here on this network to the American people in every way that we can. And Dr. Cynthia McKinney, do you have any questions for Dr. William Croft?
I've got one if Cynthia's busy over there. I know her throat is hurting.
Mic muted. But go ahead, Gene. Go ahead. Jump in there.
Doctor, you know, I've been out of the United States for quite some time, but in the past couple of years since I've been back, I've noticed one thing hasn't been happening in a very viral season is I'm here in Florida, and I don't see any aerial spraying for mosquitoes in Florida. Any idea why they've cut aerial spraying for mosquitoes?
I believe that they have registered that it's harmful to them. I don't know what else. I have not heard that, though.
No, they seem to be spraying in other parts of the country, but not in Florida.
Right.
I just thought, you know, mosquitoes these days, if the right ones come in... We have such things as West Nile virus, bird flu, all kinds of things going on that are, I think they're carried by mosquitoes, and if they're not controlling the mosquito environment,
West Nile.
Perhaps.
West Nile, yep. I'll check that out tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for asking the question.
Cynthia, you got any questions for Dr. William Croft? You might have your mic muted. I know you're there.
Yeah. No, I've not really participating because my throat is sore. I've talked out.
Any? We got a call. Someone calling in there. Let's see if it's a caller. Do you have any questions? 845. 845. Okay, folks. If you got any questions for Dr. William Croft or former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney, doctor to be here shortly, or Gene Chip Tatum, give us a call at 816-399-4701. I'll repeat it, 816-399-4701. And Cynthia's got a sore throat there, Doc. She's catching a little bit of cold. You got any suggestions for her?
Yeah, I have. I'm a big believer of the light. And all you have to do is relax. Balance out your chakras, ground yourself by breathing in the deep breaths from Mother Earth, and then you say, the virus that's infected in your throat is a demonic infection. So what you do is you have a spirit friend, it can be Michael the Archangel or whatever, and say, hey, will you pull off this virus from my body? Will you help me remove this from my body? And all you have to do is they say yes, then what you do is you do a countdown of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, clap your hands, and they will remove that virus from your throat. You won't have that infection.
Okay. And 845, we're going to give you another shot. You got any questions for any of the guests here?
Hello, Stu. Hello, everybody. And I just caught you guys, and I want to first offer some info. Citra Salve, orange oil. Citra Salve, C-I-T-R-A. S-O-L-V, that particular brand, highly diluted, a little bit goes a long way. That'll wipe out any kind of mold. It'll clean up everything for disinfecting, and it's totally safe and healthy to breathe in. It's great stuff. And Michael the Archangel, he's the best, next to the good Lord himself. He's my guardian angel. I'm Michael from New York. And if anybody is having some health issues, feel free to take a look at my website, Michael Ann.
Okay, we're not going to have people coming in or promoting products, folks. I don't allow it on my station. If you want to be a guest, you can contact me if you're for real. With that said, anybody have any questions, 816-399-4701. Cynthia, you want to pick it up from here, or Gene, or Doc? It's open mic.
My throat's sore. I'm not.
We're just facing well. I understand.
Yeah.
Cynthia. Gene, Doc, either one of you want to pick it up? Where you want to go with this?
Well, one of the things that I'm recently getting into is the useful of the air cleaners and filters like that. That in the schools, for example, they are not cleaning these up properly. And by getting a carbon-based filter, you can remove these microtoxins. Now, they're not in spores. They are located in the vapors of these microtoxins, especially when it passes over a heating element. And what happens is that when the spore is first being formed, and the reason why the mold sporulates is because it feels threatened. So there's no air or no food or no water, it sporulates. And so now you got that spore, and it passes over the heating coils, that will then generate the vapors and the gas. And of course, you can't filter those out unless you have carbon. Carbon or activated charcoal will remove those vapors. And it can not only have to be mold, it can be a number of other agents that will be removed by that. Petroleum, for example, will be removed also, because mold does make that. And so by having those filters in, one can remove that and clean that, keep that environment clean for you until you recognize that you do have a problem. It's very, very important to do that, otherwise you're going to be sick. Now, one other thing, toxic mold didn't happen in this earth just to poison people. Toxic mold is on this planet to eat up all the pesticides and all the herbicides, insecticides, that we have on this planet. Can you imagine the tons and tons of pesticides that we have on this farmland that we have? Why, my God, it's a wonder the tractors could even run the land. But what happens is that the pesticides are consumed by toxic mold. They have the ability to go ahead and digest these toxic chemicals, and that's the main reason why they are here. But what happens is that when we allow moisture in our homes or whatever, it allowed to grow. And so it's only doing its job. It doesn't know any better. So I think that's a very important point I wanted to bring up tonight. So.
These are known as microtoxins. The microtoxins.
Yeah.
Now, Doc, where do you think we're going to be? Where do you think we're going to be on the food supply as far as chickens and turkeys with this outbreak of the bird flu in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa and Nebraska and Kansas and Missouri? I've seen it on the local news here no more than a month and a half.
It's going to be reduced, and it's going to be, you know, no the chickens that lay their eggs, that's all depleted very, very severely. And so I was talking to an expert today, and they figure it's going to take at least a year to get things back to normal and to reduce, get their population back to where it should be. But it was all man-made type of thing, and they're blaming it on everybody they can blame it on, but it's the man-made tricks of the rich, crime syndicate type of boys that are doing it to us. So it's going to take a year to get everything back, so the price of that's going to go up. So we'll probably go back eating more meat and so on. But I read an article in the paper not too long ago where these cattle in Texas were grazing on this grass and they all started dying. It turns out that the GMOs had put cyanide into the grass. So the cows are just being dying because they're being poisoned with cyanide. So we just don't know where we're going to be going with this cyanide. Just because another thing is they patent it, and that makes it safe. They can have it on the market because it's patented. You can't go into into Canada and get organic food there because it's all GMO food. And if it passes over for fertilization from one crop to another in the field, they automatically walk in and say it's their crop. And so, I mean, you got to be like India and a number of other places. They just chase them right out of the country. But I don't think in the United States we got the balls to do that because they're too much rich money.
You picked up on mad cow's disease a while back. Do we have any of those problems coming down the pipeline with the food supply now?
No. All we have to do is just stop the use of that pesticide. The same thing with chronic wasting disease. Those are not caused by the prion. It's caused by a pesticide. Chronic wasting disease is chlorothalonil. It's used to treat potatoes from moldy potatoes. They dig up potatoes and put them on the ground, and they come along and start bagging them right away. Well, if they don't treat with a mold, the bacteria, there's no bacteria to clean up any food supply, so the fungi are right there, so they have to apply this to the potato right away. Otherwise, by the time they start putting them into the to a slicer to make chips, they're all rotten, so they have to add this. So what happens is that this chlorothalonil is in the dust, and that goes over the mountains, and the mountains clear this dust, but it also settles in on the deer and so on, and so they're exposed to this chlorothalonil, which affects the brain. The brain isn't allowed to infect into the intestine, and so now you don't have the innervation to go ahead and mix and propel the food down the track, and so these animals die. And that's why, and anybody that eats the same thing for man and lives by these farms, it's also in Minnesota, they just say, oh, this guy, poor guy, he just died of a brain tumor. Well, what it was is the pesticide thought down them. You're not even allowed to go and test the waterways over in Minnesota, like just a few miles out of Minneapolis, because, oh my God, they can't have that be detected. It's supposed to be pulled off the market, but no, it's still on there, and you can't remove any of this stuff. Mad cow disease, they're finally realizing about FODMAP, that, you know, that was just like a organic phosphate they used over in World War I, where they decided that this stuff was too vicious because it caused vacuoles and holes in the brain, Swiss cheese brain. Well, they removed it. Well, for this pesticide, that they use it as a pesticide to take care of the warble fly. Well, that was all right then, see? Instead of sterilizing the male, like you would do with the this one worm, I can't think of the name right now. But they did that, they would do that, they would lose money. So, in my book, it talks all about how that all happened and how the insurance companies just decided that they were going to say no to everything from now on. And, they have. They told Margaret Thatcher, you have to do this, otherwise we're going to financially destroy you. And so she said, she went along with them. And she called Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said, oh, I don't want this problem either. So they went ahead, and he submitted there too. But I can tell you, during that time, there's a lot of farmers that were really petrified as to getting that virus into their herds and allowing, you know, all one cow has to do is get the virus, and they'll sacrifice the whole herd. I seen the other day, six months ago, they killed this flock of sheep, and You ask the question, does the DNR allow the animals? They still believe that there's prions around, and they're still sleeping under a rock. I'll tell you another thing, what these DNR is doing. Anytime you've got a fire, they dump fire retardant on that water, and then it goes all over. Well, some of this fluorides that are generated by putting it in there, it's some of the most poisonous material that you can get. And here we are allowing that poison to be put into our mouth for teeth, which is a big fraud. During the war crimes, they said you should not be able to do anything unless you actually get the approval of people. Well, they're dumping it right into these water, gets into waterways and so on. I'm studying a farm right now where a farmer lost over 500 cows because the DNR came in on the barn fire and dumped it into his water on the supply, a neck on the water supply, and he's been fighting them ever since. He can't even get anybody to come in and assay his water supply because the DNR controls all the testers. I mean, this is just getting me ridiculous. You wonder why people pick up guns and become, you know, betrayed. They just can't stand it anymore. And then the vapors that are coming off of hydrogen fluoride.
Second, Doc, I apologize. Hold the thoughts. Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney is going to say good night, signing off. Cynthia, you still there?
I know yes, yes, I am. I just want to say good night, Stu. Good night, Dr. Croft.
Good night, Cynthia.
And thank you, Cynthia, very much for coming on. I'll be having you on again soon. You have a good one, and get over that cold.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Go ahead and continue, Doc. I apologize.
All right. Anyway, what we're trying to do is get all that stuff together, and you can't believe the number of compounds, poisonous compounds, in this mixture that they just come in and dump out, and you're supposed to say, don't say anything about this. Well, this is worse than Russia. My God, we ought to go over there. Probably safer than here we are. And they don't get approval. It's just very frustrating, I tell you that.
Frustrating when you see what's going on from your viewpoint as a pathologist. Now, you know, you're the one that studies animals. The mad cow's disease pops up. They call it up. You do this sort of thing. I mean, you know, mold situations like that. Forensic files. It was a masterpiece that I saw on CNN a couple weeks ago on this mold. And then when I called you about it, you knew the woman. She had died, and she started this little organization. I mean, they sued an insurance company and got, what was it? They were asking for $4, $5, $6, $8 million, I think they said.
No. The jury awarded them $32 million.
Yeah,
and of course, the insurance company then went, oh my God, they freaked out. Oh my, every case they had covered for mold. And they said, oh my God, if we start losing these kind of cases, we won't be around very much longer. So then they went into a panic mode. And so they contacted the legislature. The legislature said, hey, it's your problem. That is not ours. So one thing led to another. And then they all of a sudden went over to mad cow disease. And they said, no, we are not going to pay for any of this anymore. We're going to say, no, no, no. And that's what they've done. And so everything is that no, they don't have the doctors allowed to be able to diagnose this case because the people in medical school aren't allowed to teach it. It's not being taught anywhere. So that's why when people go to different doctors, then I had one lady in Green Bay. She went to 32 different doctors with no diagnosis. She said, Dr. Croft, you've got to help me. I'm going to die if I don't get help. So I went ahead and helped her, you know. And so in the meantime, Miss Cluck comes around saying, oh, you're practicing medicine. I'm not practicing medicine. I'm a scientist. I do research.
Who this duck is? Miss Cluck, I call her Duck the Cluck. She's a public, so-called public official. Explain what they've done to you.
Oh, well, they said, well, since I'm a scientist, they have to get rid of scientists because we research diseases all the time. Well, the fact is that Mr. Herbert Bush down there don't want me dissecting and showing that mold can be harmful. And so he's out to get, so he tells Mr. Walker, our governor, to go after me. So who's right underneath him is Miss Cluck. And Miss Cluck then said, okay, Croft, you are practicing medicine. You don't have a license to practice medicine. I said, I don't need one. I'm a scientist. I've taken my PhD, my prelim questions, and all that stuff which was required of me, and I do research. I've done research and studied this way of toxic chemicals and diseases for over 30-some years. Never a question of this. In fact, I have a letter from my department chairman saying I am allowed to study human and animal diseases. That's what I've done. I've done all kinds of different studies. We could talk about half an hour about that. But now all of a sudden, now I'm being challenged that I'm practicing medicine without a license. And it turns out that she just took that from me and then accused me of practicing medicine and reading the Wisconsin statutes. Said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I did, but I didn't do it. I'm a scientist. And so she charged me, and now whenever I go anywhere, if I give a deposition or something, the defense always says, oh, you did this, you did that, you did this. Well, in this last couple of weeks here, I appeared in court, and I did the pathology on this one person and showed that they were poisoned with this disease, with toxic mold. And then all of a sudden this defense lawyer comes in and says, oh my God, you did this, you did that, Miss Cluck said this. And I said, no, what happened is Miss Cluck picked up the wrong manual. She picked up the manual for doctors, and when she should have picked up the manual for scientists. And therefore, I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. But he just come after me and after me. And I kept answering the questions, and I got all done. Then the judge tore into this lawyer, and he says, you do this one more time, and I'm going to sanction you. You know, it'll be for a long time. So I felt pretty good about that.
I'm going to let you go in the direction. What are you seeing as far as health in this country, as far as people are concerned? I mean, let's back up for a minute. If anybody's got itchy eyelids, you got an outbreak of fungi on your feet, you think it's athlete's foot, itches around the crotch, anything of this nature, there's a high probability you got mold in you, and it will do what, Doc? Turn your brain to cheese, and eventually you'll die, right? Basically? If you don't.
Yeah, what happens is that you breathe in these spores that are in your house. You got moisture, so one thing or another, that's why I say these filters are really good to monitor that. And then what happens is that the yeast comes in, takes off its overcoat, and then puts on the yeast coat, crawls down in your vessels, and there it continues to eat sugar and carbohydrates and all that stuff. And then it keeps making more microtoxin. And that's like carrying a 50-pound sack of potatoes around with you. Eventually, you just can't keep going, and you succumb to it. It eats up your organs. You don't have any functional organs anymore. I know a lady that died. She has 160-pound overweight, and she didn't have the enzyme to go ahead and use her own fat, body fat, to live. She just totally suffocated within this, and she suffocated because the yeast got into her lungs, and she couldn't even breathe, and that's what happened to her. And it's a really a shame, but what we have to do is we have to, you know, like people are consuming, or 50% is consuming all these sugars. This ad on the radio and TV shows where this young boy calls his grandmother and say, hey, give me, how about another grape soda? You know, it's just ridiculous. But that's what's happening. We have to start getting in shape again. And I am responsible just as well as anybody else. I got to get out. Somebody's got to kick me in my ass. And the chiropractor just told me, he says, Bill, I want you to lose that pot you got. Get going now. So I'm going to start doing this and keep in shape. He says, how long are you going to live? I don't know. I said, well, you're going to live until you die, but let's be in good quality health rather than being walked around in a wheelchair. So get your ass in gear. I said, okay, Doc, I will. But that's what it boils down to. We have to start doing these things. They're just talking about the new exercises today where you're weightlifting and doing all these different things rather than running around doing yoga and all that stuff. So that's really taking off. Now, anything to get excitement and get the bodies going, get that heart pumping and your muscles going again. And that's what has to happen. Otherwise, these pesticides, you don't kill pesticides. I mean, you don't kill mold. It's impossible. You don't paint over it either. That is ridiculous. This mold has all the enzymes like the good Lord gave it to them. And so thank God that they come and eat up all the pesticides that we have. But we need to get moving. We got to stop eating the sugar and carbohydrates. If we don't do that, we're doomed. Just like that.
Okay, you got anything else to add, Doc, here? We've got 15 minutes left. Do you have anything in particular you want to add about epidemics in this country? Anything that you're aware of that's happening?
Let's see. I've worked on a few notes here. I covered a lot of material in the book that I wrote, Operation Synapse. And I talked about how to get rid of viruses. I know what I was going to say. I was going to tell you about this prayer. And you see, I like to treat things with three modes of operation. One is the 3D method. That's where you take ammonia to neutralize the microtoxin, or the pills, supplements, things like that to neutralize the microtoxin. The second way is with the energy. And light as I just read an article the other day, that light, colored light, stimulates the brain. In fact, they can control the next method of treating people. It's going to be using colored light in the brain, and that will control how your body functions and everything, how it neutralizes viruses, everything. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't put the thing article down. But that's going to be the next wave of therapy, is energy. And we are, God uses us, we're made of energy, and that's a, like we have our spirit. Our spirit is as powerful as 100 nuclear power plants. Soul, the soul directs the karma and the things we're going to be doing on this planet. So, that's very exciting. And so, it's energy that's going to be doing things. And so we've got to learn how to use the energy and how to be treated with these different things. Using different chemicals and pharmaceuticals, that's archaic, and it's going to fall by the wayside very soon. But although, you know, if we have treatments of cancer, we're using these radiation and all these other anti-cancer drugs, that's all going to fall by the side because the effectiveness of these viruses, using the polio virus on brain tumors now, and the light, these different things are going to be very much more effective. So I like to use the light. There's an exercise, a meditation I use called the magic carpet ride. And I take family members that are small and young, 3 or 4 years old. We all jump on this magic carpet and the parents jump on it. Even the family dogs jumps on the magic carpet. And we go zooming out into the mountains. And there we expose ourselves to all these beautiful light energy things. And that balances us all out. And it convinces your mind that you don't have that disease. It's your mind that generates the disease. And then I have the spiritual means where you just simply ask God to remove any and bring you back into phase and balancing and so on. And I've always found it to be very, very effective. So that's it for me.
Well, you've got a pretty strong belief in God and that Christ is real and that the prayer works. And Gene, you have any questions for Dr. William Croft?
I was wondering if he had any idea or any input on what's going on in the Midwest with all the since December, how many birds have had to be put down because of this virus?
Well, I really, like I said, Gene, I really believe it's a man-made, engineered in the lab and then distributed by man, and coming along in a car, and you know, it wasn't through the birds, the wild birds, because they haven't been dying, and the flight patterns are totally different for birds. They flight patterns more towards the west and going up into Canada that way, and not through Wisconsin and so on. And so I really believe it's man-made type of thing, but it's going to be they cleaned all these birds out, and then it's a matter of aerating everything, cleaning it all up, and then they'll reinfest the bird, bringing in new eggs and so on. And it's going to take about a year to do that if they don't keep getting infected.
Have any idea how many birds have been killed as a result? How many chickens and turkeys?
I think they're approaching 4 million right now. It's just horrendous. I mean, there's one agriculture newspaper that I was going to ship you. It talks about that in there, and then I talked to this one gal that is a poultry scientist, and she says that if they clean everything all up, aeration light is the main thing for them, and that flu, that virus will die with light. And of course, we have the light of God that bears truth to that. But that the aeration and light will take care of that whole disease. So if we can keep the prime boys away from our birds, we should be okay.
You keep referring to the crime boys and the rich, and you're
yeah, the rich.
Go ahead.
Tricks of the rich. That's what I like to call them.
Okay, well, we're all on the same page. The Illuminati.
Yep. Hello?
I'm still here, Doc. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just got silent.
Stu, I think...
I was muted. Sorry, I was saying... And go ahead, Gene, if you got any questions. I was just going to ask Doc myself, what do you think, in your opinion, that the American people need to do to put a stop to this crime syndicate?
I think... I guess I have faith in this political system we have, but I think if everybody would write to their congressman and put so much heat on this and expose all these people and keep hammering on them over and over again, that would solve it. They'd eventually have a vote. And people are so frustrated today. I mean, cops are killing blacks and young kids and it's upheaval. It's almost like being a revolution. And they're so frustrated with all this crap that's going on. You know, like Madison. Today, the prosecutor said, oh, no, we don't find enough evidence for this to happen. But it's so frustrating for these people. You know, it's just ridiculous. How to solve this, I think we just have to start bringing these problems forward constantly and constantly, and that should fix it. I don't know what else to do.
Cynthia McKinney talked about maybe occupying every congressman and senator in the United States occupying their front door of their house.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. Bring the big billboards and say, hey, how come you haven't voted for this or how come you haven't voted for that? You know, is it because of the rich don't want you to vote this way or the crime syndicate don't want you to vote that way or what happened here? See, are you a member of ISIS or what's the goal? What's here? You know, I was at a retreat one day and they said, hey, why are we paying attention to ISIS and that? We shouldn't be embellishing on them at all. I mean, hey, what have they done? They haven't done anything. So why even record what they're doing? You know, just forget about them. And so I don't know.
They are part of the New World Order's little privatized army. That's all it is. And the boogeyman's going to come to America, according to Van Gower. And her little stooge event that Gene Jeff Tatum wrote about and talked about. And Gene, you got any questions for Doc here?
I don't, Stu. I would like to take a little time right at the end to talk about the new website and the functions of it for the people who come to it.
Okay, sounds good. And Doc, with that said, why don't we take this last 6 minutes and do it? And I thank you very much for coming on with us, Doc. And you can hang in here.
Thank you.
Because you're going to be doing stories from time to time on the website anyway, so just stand by and listen.
Okay, thank you.
You'll find his work up there, folks, from time to time, and his findings. With that said, Gene, go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Stu. Okay, folks, the new website is veteranstruthnetwork.com. That's veteranstruthnetwork.com. When you go to the website, you'll see the menu will have your home, radio, where you can listen live to the radio. We have the books section where all of our writers and hosts will be posting their books for you. We have an event schedule. Whenever a writer or a host is going to host an event somewhere, their event will be posted on there, the time and place. We have our VTN, Veterans Truth Network, forums. Each host will have his own forum that he can run. We have our, if you join, once you join, now, to post into the forums, you have to be a member. I'm going to tell you that now. Only because we don't want trolls just coming through. We want to know that, you're not some kind of troll or some Chinese marketer or someone trying to come in and sell their goods. We want you to come in and post truthfully, post honestly, and keep on topic. Don't go off topics. If you go off topic, if you go off somewhere and try to post a website to sell your goods, it's just going to get deleted by somebody. We haven't decided who will do that. Who will look after
me? I'm the troll killer. I'm the troll killer.
And Stu will do it.
He loves it.
He's got his 50 caliber computer there.
With the scope. It's called the 3-mile solution.
Once you come into the site, And once you're a member, we will have older archives there for you to pull from. All of our shows will be held for 2 weeks, so they'll either be in rotation or in the on-demand section for 2 weeks after the show runs. After that, they'll be going into the archives, and you won't have access to the archives unless you're a member. But the on-demand section for 2 weeks back in shows, it's available for the public for free. Our membership is going to be $3. That's $3 a month for membership. And with that, you have access to posting in the forums, joining us on the inside with the newer things. One section we have in the members section is you can run your own little blog in there. We don't want any commercialization. We want to keep it on topic with the Veteran Truth Network. And we'll be looking at those from time to time, and other people will be telling us if they think that there's something there that's really off topic, like Chinese or Koreans coming in trying to sell Nike shoes. You know, it that's off topic. That's off color for Veterans Truth Network. If you're in there really talking about a topic, we're not going to bother you. And that's just about it for the new VeteransTruthNetwork.com. We'll be adding the podcast and TV cast to it probably within a month, as long as we get those matching funds in. Things are looking good. We're what, Stu, within a couple $2,200 of doing that?
$2,200, folks, is all we need. We need contributions this month. We have until, what is the date on this? The end of the month, roughly?
Right, the end of the month.
15 more days. We've done real well, and we want to thank everybody that's contributed. Not all thank yous have gone out yet, and they will be, but I want to thank everybody who has helped out. And we're gonna make a big network out of this. And we've got the audience. We've got more hosts coming on. Now we're gonna be posting the host. I do have it up on stuweb.com right now at the top of my website. You can see the host and the writers. And we have a few more that we've invited, and they're coming aboard. And so we're gonna be expanding. But we want to get into this TV, this internet TV. It's something that we can expand into the younger generation. They like to come to YouTube and see the different channels and so forth, and we're expanding that area even more. So, folks, we're trying to build something here, and it's for you, and it's for the American people, and we're just asking to help kick in and help us do that. And we're not out here telling you that the Twin Towers dropped by nukes that were stolen out of Pantech, which is none of that's true, and I found out from Department of Energy personnel, it's all bogus crap. And there is going to be something on this, on who the person is that's feeding those at place that both Tatum and I and pulled away from, and Fetzer and many other people that we talked about. If you haven't listened to that archive, you should go in on, it was on Thursday, or on Tuesday, April the 28th. Go listen to that archive. Because it's vitally important, and you can find it on stuweb.com. It's one of my last posts I've done up there recently. I've been very busy with other things, but if you go there, you can listen to it, and I think you should do that, because there's a hell of a lot of disinformation out here, and it's coming out. These trolls are every place. They're running around claiming to be federal officers. They're claiming to be Homeland Security. They're claiming to be defense contractors. They're claiming all kinds of stuff. And this is just more of the trolls out here, and more of the disinformation and con artists that are out here. We're going to see more and more and more of this as this escalates. Remember, this Jade Held thing, you know, you don't do exercises running around with live bullets, and you don't do these sort of things. We've got a big problem facing all of us here in America in a very short period of time, and we're going to try our best to keep you informed as long as we're still around and breathing. And, Gene, you want to pick it up?
No, I agree with you 100%, Stu. We don't practice where we're not going to intend on fighting, and that's just the basic truth. There's a lot of hot spots out there. Like Cynthia was stating earlier, she brought up a very good point. There's no reason why that what happened in the Middle East couldn't happen here in a false flag, where the government escalates something and causes something to happen here, and thus escalating the troops and the Joint Task Force who will be marching through our country for a few months.
Just want to throw out this, folks, that remember, prayer works. Prayer works. We need to start praying that God destroy the enemy and start bringing the truth forward, and it does work. It helps, believe me. I know I'm still breathing after 30-some-odd attempts, and it does help. And with that said, you got anything else, Gene?
Lord, make my aim straight, buddy.
There you go. I'm in agreement with you when it comes to this. You know, he hates evil, and it doesn't mean we... Remember the David and Goliath story, folks. All it took was one rock right to the head, and it was the end of Goliath. So, and he had him go out there and do it. So, you know, the righteous can do it. We have to sometimes take control, and we're going to have to do it very shortly. If we don't, there won't be civilization as we know it, and we're hanging up for your kids and grandkids. So, and we need all of you younger people to be out there, occupy the Congress and Senate. Maybe we need to really start...
I leave my heart open, but it stays right here empty for days. She told me in the morning she don't feel the same about us in her bones. Seems to me that when I die, these words will be written.
You've been listening to Stu Webb Raw.
And I'll be gone, gone tonight. The ground beneath my feet is open wide.
Right here on the Veterans Truth Network. Good night, folks.
With nothing in between.